Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Nice to be here today. So what was the Zokley show was ripping on me earlier? Sorry, I was not listening. I was kind of tied up behind the scenes here today, not listening. Something about Arenado not wanting to do the home run derby because it would screw up his swing. You know, they may have a point there. You know, Charlie was
able... You pushed back on me when I brought this up like two years ago to you.
Well, you know, it certainly didn't impact Charlie all that much. But, I mean, I kind of get it. Yeah. And so maybe I'll just back off my state. You know what? When you're going well or you're in a groove, there's no reason to change anything. And there's no doubt just trying to launch home runs definitely could, you know, kind of get in your head, I suppose, a tad. You know, to me, these players are so good and so dialed in. But if Nolan Arenado says it, then, you know, there's got to be some sort of value to it.
What about Aaron Judge last year? Didn't he admit it as well?
Wait, listen, if those guys are admitting it, if they're saying it's a factor, then you know, what does my opinion matter? That's for sure. So I'll go with them if that's what they – if it matters to them. I just don't think – I just bit back a little bit that – everybody was going to freak out about Charlie Blackmon. I said it's going to have no impact, and it didn't because I really don't think it would have much of an impact anyways because these guys launch home runs, Chad, in batting practice just as part of their regular batting practice routine. But that being said, I understand the pressure of the home run derby and what's going on and all that. I had an interesting situation. I was just telling the boys as they were walking out of the room, my own son, who had a great spring season in high school as a sophomore, hit, but he's a contact hitter. You know, he's a really, really good hitter, but he's, you know, 5'8", Chad, 145 pounds. He's just not launching home runs left and right. But he hit one out during a batting practice, and sure enough, for a good chunk of the summer, I think that has lingered with him. You know what I mean? Like, I know I can do this because I've done it, so let me, you know, continue to try to do it rather than just take more smart, better swings, because everything you hear about with baseball is launch angle and getting the ball in the air, which is true. And that is how, on the highest level, you do need to swing the bat and perhaps going into college. And that is what gets you home runs. And there's no doubt in the thin air of Colorado in the summer, especially these days, I'm telling you, Chad, you get a ball in the air, it could go.
It goes, yeah, no doubt.
Just look at the laser shows that are happening down in Coors Field left and right. But you don't even have to do that. You can just watch a high school baseball game during the summer, and you can see 15, 16-year-olds, Chad, you know, hit the ball out of the park. It happens. Never mind the 17 and 18-year-olds who are, you know, legitimately, you know, grown up and have really been lifting weights and all that. So, I don't know. I'll give it a little bit of credence if they want to get on my back about it. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but, you know, Nolan doesn't want to do it. Hey, fine by me. I don't care.
I think it's a big deal. As a guy who, you know, during my professional playing career, was always chasing sacks. If you got one sack for the rest of the game, you had the mental challenge of not trying to turn every play into sack number two. And reading the defense, not getting too far upfield when it's a draw or it's a counter play. All those kind of things. Not being fooled by, you know, play action fakes. All that kind of stuff. Once you start trying to get the prize without just doing your job,
right,
it throws you off.
Yeah, the whole do your job thing, right?
Right. So, you know, whenever I asked you this in the past, that's where I was coming from. And now to hear Nolan Arenado admit this, or at least admit his fear of this, it gives credence to that thought that I've had. Because, as a football player, if I'm trying to get a sack every play, that means I'm not going to do my job. I want to screw things up.
Right.
Let it come.
Right.
You still haven't fixed your glasses yet, man?
They're any day here.
You sure?
I mean, I went in, I picked them out.
I've been looking at you in these busted glasses for like 2 weeks.
Well, you think I like it?
I think so.
No, I don't like it. They're ordered. They're coming.
All right.
It takes like 10 days to get them. Trust me. Gonna go get my, got my MRI, get my glasses should be coming in.
They're special ordered by Vocals.
Yeah. Transitions. Not transitions, progressive. Transitions, they turn into sunglasses.
Right.
Progressive. It's bifocals. Okay, fine. But it's, you know, it's... got my,
grandpa wore black bifocals.
I got
bifocals.
My knee appointment at Spine One tomorrow. I've already had my MRI. Now I'm going to, you know, go talk to the knee doctor about what may be a torn meniscus or something. It just feels like loose now. It feels like I can walk around okay, and it's definitely not, it's low on the pain scale, but it's definitely like... It feels like I'm of a quick turn from it falling off or something, you know? You're just walking around, you probably do, and it just like, it just feels loose, you know? It just doesn't feel all that stable.
Oh, yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Got that going on. What else? I got a lot of miserable things going on, Chad, but I appreciate the reminder of my messed up glasses.
Because, you know, one arm is missing,
yeah,
obviously, so that people can't see.
I know.
So your glasses are a little askew, as they would say.
They have been for the past... Okay. Thank you, Chad. It's good to see you, too. Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. How about yourself, man?
Eh.
Eh. What?
It was eh.
You mean the world didn't lay down in front of you?
It was okay. It was fine. It was kind of a nice break just because
of
rain.
Did you eat hot dogs?
No, I did not eat any hot dogs this weekend. No hot dogs. No hot dog consumption. Maybe I should have had a hot dog. Maybe I would have felt better if I had a hot dog.
Maybe.
No, we made some... actually, we did probably basically nothing this week. My son's baseball team lost an extra innings on Friday, or they would have proceeded to go further in this tournament they were in. So they lost. So instead of, you know, you schedule everything, you know, you schedule as if you're going to be, you know, doing stuff.
Right.
And then you lose, and then you just do nothing. So it's a very odd sort of thing to go from, okay, we're going to be pretty busy. Oh, we're doing nothing. Oh, okay, gotcha.
You didn't go in the closet and organize your shoes?
You did a little household stuff.
Colorized your T-shirts?
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, I guess I could have, you know, wasted time doing crap like that.
Figure out which pile of clothes is clean, which one's dirty, so you know what shirt to wear three times.
Well,
it's fresh today.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
I swear it is.
It's brand new today to
it's,
us.
It's new today. I
but
won't
whether
wear
it's new to you.
I won't wear
we'll
it tomorrow.
Find out.
We'll see. what else? Nothing. I mean, my older son's getting ready to go back to college.
Already?
I know. August 12th.
Oh, kind of a month.
It's a full month.
Do you know what date today is?
Yeah.
It's the 16th.
I'm telling you. These things take time. We made a lot of arrangements for the fall. We've got a lot of stuff going on.
Moving out of the dorms, right? Into an apartment?
Yeah, he's doing that. My younger son is, you know, playing for the NCAA, man. Yeah. It's an interesting process, Chad. You were lucky. I'll tell you that. You were lucky. Because you were a slam dunk, you know. But what if you're a bubble, you don't know, who knows who, whatever, you know, that sort of thing. It's a tricky process.
Yeah, I had some teammates back in high school who were, you know, looking at junior college, looking at Weber State.
Right.
Looking at that kind of thing and trying to figure out what's the best way to go. If I go to junior college, does that give me a better chance to go to a bigger school? Do I stay at Weber State?
All that stuff.
I mean, do 1 year there and try to transfer over. Yeah, so...
Yeah, we're hearing from, like, schools I've never, like, even heard of. And, like, well, it's not bad. See you later. We're actually sending them some to apply. I don't want to be super specific about it, but we're sending them to a place we've never, ever heard of, but it checks all the other boxes. And we can't even go because it's during training camp and my wife can't take off time of work. So we found some relatives who are retired. Her aunt and uncle are retired, and they're willing to, like, travel just to sort of, you know, babysit them a little bit.
So I'm going to chaperone his visit to a unknown small college.
Yeah, well, it's D1, but it's small. I didn't even know there could be Division I baseball colleges that had under, you know, that had 3,000 students at that. But there is.
Okay.
There's one. And
dude, at the very least,
he's going there.
Your son.
But with no promises. This is like, it's one of these like, sure, but hey. no promises, but yeah, we'd like to see him and that sort of thing.
He's in the conversation, man. There's a congratulations due just for that to you and to him.
My response now when I get some notes is like, is this serious? Like, are you for real? And we've had a couple places say, nah, we're not really for real. Like, it's because it's a money suck for these universities to have all these camps that these kids go to, right, that you have to go to before they can, man, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it's boring you to tears on this, but we spent a lot of time over the weekend just making arrangements. So, like, there's baseball season, then there's camp season, then it gets back into baseball season, then it's more camps, and it's a whole chase just to find out where in the world it's going to end up, and there's no guarantees it could end up anywhere. And the NCAA can make promises to kids and decommit kids all the time.
Yep.
The Kyle Sloter story, if you don't know the Kyle Sloter story, it is...
messed up.
Oh, my God.
Messed up.
So unfair and good for Kyle Sloter for just kind of hanging in there as long as he did.
Persevering. Yeah, for sure. Because he was done wrong at multiple stops by multiple coaches.
Yeah, the question is, when you say something, do you mean it? When you say, I want to play in the NFL, do you really mean it? Like, I want to play Division I football. Really? Do you? I mean, do you really mean that? Like, are you really willing to, you know, go to a junior college in order to make the transfer back up or something like that? I mean, really? Are you willing to go to North Dakota? Are you willing to go to Maine? That's all, you know, Division I football. It may not be USC, you know, and it may not be Alabama, but it's all Division I football. Do you really want to do that?
Welcome to El Paso, son.
I got to admit, there's one kid we know, and he wants to play college baseball so bad. I really have a tremendous amount of respect for what he's willing to do. So he found himself a community college outside of Syracuse. And I'm just like, wow. And he was over the house the other day, and I was just like, dude, good luck. You know, it's awesome to have a dream, right? And I'm like, oh, my God. And he's a smart kid. He'd go to plenty of other colleges just to go to college, but he kind of was a late bloomer in terms of the baseball stuff. And if you bloom late in high school for baseball, that's in the spring season, Chad. Everybody's already, you know, the spots are all gone.
Right. So he's going to stay in the game and try to transfer later.
Yeah.
Chase your dream, man. Dreams are not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be some struggle in that.
Easy for you.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, it wasn't easy for you?
Seriously?
You just told me a story last week about your phone ringing at dinner from USC and UCLA and your dad just saying Chad's going to go out of state.
Wait, what part of that implied that any of that was easy? I was not 6'6 in high school your partner who normally occupies this seat.
All right.
I was not all state in California or Texas.
What was the hardest part for you?
Nor all American. I had to earn my way on the field. I wasn't given, you know, the starting job. And then I had to play well against very good competition. I had to work incredibly hard.
All right, fair enough.
My
fair
freshman
enough.
Year in high school, I benched 135.
Okay. Takes a lot of work to get to.
I was probably doing 205 by the time I graduated. I couldn't even do 225 once when I showed up as a freshman in Colorado.
Wow.
That's how naturally weak I am.
Wow.
It took a lot of work and a lot of
weight
room
hours. What did you do at the combine?
I did it. I didn't bench at the combine because I broke my hand during the season.
Lucky you.
I did it at my pro day.
And?
I did 11. And I jumped off the bench and I said, yes, because I got double digits. It was a question whether I would even get double digits.
So that 11. Wasn't your thing?
Never
been your thing.
I've worked incredibly hard at it, push-ups, bench press, and all the different programs.
Just never came to you.
Never came to me.
Not like the man of La Mancha, Mark Schlereth, who can...
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, right?
What is he, 52? What is he? How old is he?
I think he's close to 70.
All right. Yes, he's 67 years old.
52 or 51.
Something like that.
67 years old, and he can bench press more than I can today.
He'll tell you.
He can bench press more today than I could in my prime in the NFL.
Well, he bench pressed more than most of the guys at the combine this year.
Right.
I mean, that is freaky.
The thing about me is I have really giant breasts.
Yeah.
And short arms. It helps him.
Did he get the final one up? It was the final.
No, he did not. I watched the whole
hell
thing.
Yeah. Stokely insists that he didn't get it up.
Stokely's right.
Mm. Did you watch the Rockies at all over the weekend?
Caught up with them. You know, I was between Wimbledon and World Cup. I was trying to get a couple things around the house done, but I know they've played well. I know they've put a run together here.
Oh, they've been unbelievable. Can I tell you my favorite moment, though, at the Rockies the whole weekend? I mean, you may think, is it the sweep of the Mariners? That was great. Was it the return of John Gray, who looked absolute dominant through 7 1/3 innings? I mean, that's up there. But my favorite moment of the entire weekend with the Rockies was when the dude ran across the field, then jumped into the stands away from the security people far down the left field line.
Nice form tackle by that kid.
And then a young blonde man who definitely didn't work for the Rockies and I guess was just there at the game decided that it was his job to eliminate the guy running across the field. And did he eliminate him? So the guy runs across the field. He jumps over that very short wall where theoretically he would have been able to run up the stairs kind of right in front of, theoretically, actually, where he was. He could have run up the stairs, run through the concourse, down the stairs, right out to like where the chop house is. I mean, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to get that far, though, Chad. So he made it all the way across the outfield where I guess if you're working security for a sporting event, you've got to be at least 40 to 50 pounds overweight, and you're not going to catch anybody. I'm only surmising that from the wide variety of videos I've seen with you know, fat security guys chasing around, you know, the runners.
There is a plethora of examples with overweight security folks.
It's
yes.
Over, and they're wearing the blue or more likely the yellow. That says security on the back of it. He jumps over the little wall. He must have thought he was home free. And I don't know who this guy was. Maybe somebody can tip us off who this guy is to give him proper credit. But he looks like 19, 20 years old. He's got a bit of a surfer blondish haircut. And he just puts his shoulder down. And it was violent. I mean, he took this dude out.
It was a great form tackle.
Talk to me about the tackle.
The technique. He got triple extension with the hips, knees, and ankles. Just like you coach it, he drove his shoulder. He kept his head out of it. He drove his left shoulder in there. He got a little wrap-up with it as well.
Yeah.
It was as form. It's clinic tape.
Yeah.
If I was a football coach, I would get a clip of that, and I would show that to my guys.
Yeah.
This is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Triple extension, drive the shoulder, head up, wrap your arms, grab some cloth. Technique.
Now, how he didn't get arrested for assault, I don't know. Because the last time I checked, unless we're in some sort of vigilante sort of system here at the ballpark, he's not an officer or a security guy. Like, why did he even care?
Right. The other guy could technically probably sue him for assault.
I think he's got a, I mean, technically, the guy who was running across the field had stopped running across the field. I mean, technically, this guy just leveled another dude in the stands. I mean, you definitely cannot run around just throwing down clinic perfect tackles just wherever you want at Coors Field or any other sporting event.
You know, I've always got this fantasy that I go out at night and practice vigilante justice because that's what...
Are you wearing a superhero costume while
yes,
you're doing
because
this?
That's what superheroes do. And, you know, I've always thought that would be really cool. But I know I can't do that.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do it, Spider-Man. I don't know what Superman thinks he's getting away with. I mean, unless he's got a badge someplace. But yeah, this guy just did it, and everybody was fine with it.
Right. They cheered him on.
Cheered him on. He's like a little hero. He's all over social media. As far as I can tell, the dude just broke the law. But hey, what a moment. I mean, he hit that dude so hard.
Yeah.
I was glad. Listen, all the guy did was run across the field, okay? He didn't hurt anybody. You know, I was nervous he was going to be hurt.
I've only saw the tackle. I didn't see the aftermath. So, yeah, I
couldn't believe the guy got up.
Because if you're running, trying to run up some stairs, and somebody hits you, literally unbeknownst to you, and form tackles you on some concrete stairs, bad things could happen. But, yeah, I guess they both got up. So, that's good. I guess that's good.
So, that moment aside, the Rockies are one of the hot. I made the tragic mistake, Chad, of saying they're the hottest team.
Come on, get your facts right.
No,
there
and
in the
I was just eviscerated by Red Sox fans and by Cubs fans.
Let me tell you something. This is wicked awful. All right.
So I was just told repeatedly how, you know, the Rockies were like 7-3 and the Red Sox were 8-2 in the past 10 games and stuff like that. So God forbid the correction police took a day off. So I'm glad you got me on that one. I think you know what I'm implying. The Rockies are one of the hottest teams going into the All-Star break, and I don't know if they need to make many more adjustments. I was so happy to see John Gray pitch well. I just really like John Gray, man.
They are third in the NL West, though.
Yeah, how many games back are they? Two?
I think so.
Yeah, they're fine. They're in great shape. And, you know, you can make the argument, oh, boy, bad time for a break. Maybe, you know, because they're playing as well as they possibly could. You know, that game yesterday was not a must-win game. They had already won the series against Seattle. It was just a game. Listen, you want to win every game. You don't want to lose anything. But once you win a series against a team, you're kind of okay. They weren't settled for just winning the series. They fought back.
And got the sweep.
They got the sweep over a team that's 20-something games over 500. Awesome. And Trevor Story. Wow. Goodness gracious, Trevor Story. First walk-off home run. And boy, did he get all of it. Then you see Cargo hitting lasers in the center field. 19-degree launch angles. That's nothing. That is just a regular swing. That is a, I'm going to just hit the ball hard, base hit sort of swing, except when you can generate the power Carlos Gonzalez can. And you play baseball in Colorado, Chad. Those base hits or maybe doubles to the gap become home runs.
So what's his exit velocity and who has the top exit velocity in the game that you're aware of?
That's a good question. I mean, on that particular one, I think it was about 110, 111. I think, that's a good question, like who has the top.
Did people top 120?
Oh, boy. I don't know off the top of my head. That would be mind-blowing to have an exit velocity of 120. I think 115, 116 tends to be like the top, but maybe somebody, I mean, you know, the listeners probably know better than me on this one. I'm sure we could look it up, but like when Aaron Judge really gets one, when Stanton really gets one, you know, what's the top Trout? What's the top and out at? I don't know. I don't know when Cargo hits the ball, I think he hits the ball just about as hard as anybody in Major League Baseball. I mean, he just crushes it. We're in good shape, man. Rockies are in great shape. And the key is to be able to hit a ball as hard as humanly possible and not have to really change anything.
Right.
But there's no doubt about it, Chad, if you hit a ball with a 30-degree launch angle and it could just be a fly ball and you swing that bat hard enough, it can go out. No doubt about it. But it can also be a pop-up. It can be a strikeout. It can be a fly ball out, you know, that sort of thing. The ball that Cargo hit, that first of all, it's a home run anywhere in the world. And second of all, he didn't have to do anything different to it. It was a good, solid swing. It was good to see it out of Carlos. It didn't look like he was trying to do something all that extraordinary, and he got something extraordinary out of it. And I think maybe his struggles are such that in the past that maybe he has been trying to do too much. You don't have to. You're awesome, dude. In fact, you're so awesome, he's probably the most tradable person on the Rockies right now. I don't want to see him go. I like this roster as it stands, but we're getting closer and closer to the trade deadline. It's only less than a couple weeks away. I don't want to trade DJ LeMahieu. I don't want to trade Adam Ottavino. I want these guys to the bitter end, and if we lose them, we lose them. But if you had to just absolutely twist my arm and say one guy that you maybe be able to get some value for that might help out another team, it's Cargo. Because for a lot of, you know, teams chasing, he could be a, you know, left-handed bat off the bench that could be valuable in the playoffs or that sort of thing. And, you know, maybe. Maybe Parra, too, if anybody thinks that he's got some significant value. But aside from the two of those guys, I don't want to see him dealing anybody.
Makes sense.
And I don't really have any other big brainstorms about who to bring here either. Because you'd think, well, it's got to be pitching, but, I mean, who's that guy? As far as I'm concerned, we could leave well enough alone, Chad, and just ride the wave through the postseason.
Really?
If they play like they have been, sure.
But they didn't play like they have been just before they played like
they
have been.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. What's the difference? Why? Don't know. The mysteries of baseball,
seem
right?
Seem to be pitching in the bullpen.
Yeah.
If I had to put my finger on one thing.
All right, we're off and rolling. When we have the big three, his name is Case Keenum.
Keenum.
Mm. It's hard to say sometimes, and we'll prove it next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
We're getting some info on the text line. The kid that made the tackle is a high school kid named Clay who plays baseball at Bear Creek. Maybe he's missed his calling. Nice job, Clay.
You got to give a shout out to Coach Tom Finneal.
Yeah, but we don't know if he plays football.
I'm just assuming the football coach taught him that technique. He didn't learn that playing baseball.
No, you definitely would not learn that in baseball.
In between innings, the ump no. gave him a ball as well.
What?
Yeah, so he got rewarded for
his vigilanteism?
Slash form tackle. Which,
oh, okay.
Depending on what side you look at it, it's either a vigilante or that's a great form tackle, kid.
All right, story number one. Let's do the Case Keenum mispronunciation story. Here is Heather Cox on NBC Sports.
To the T-Box and Heather Cox.
Thanks so much. Joined by three NFL quarterbacks and Jared Goff, Blake Bortles, and Chase Keenum. And you guys have played before, but Chase, this is your first year here, but you're known as a bit of a stick. So what's your comfort level out here on the course versus out on a football field?
Well, not as good as on a football field, but we're having a good time. These guys are keeping it light, and I mean you can't beat Lake Tahoe. American Century's done a great job with this thing.
So Blake, how much is trash talking versus talking shop out here?
Oh my God, how does he not? I mean, he was being very
professional. Way cool. Yeah, I think you slip it in there as a joke.
Let's hear it, Les, one more time, just
to the T-Box and Heather Cox.
Thanks so much. Joined by three NFL quarterbacks and Jared Goff, Blake Bortles, and Chase Keenum. And you guys have played before, but Chase, this is your first year here.
Oh, my God,
but you're known
that is just too funny.
I think you got to, because that was Heather Cox, you got to come back with, well, Heidi.
Right.
You got to throw something like that that's similar but not quite the same back at her.
Well, not everybody can pronounce, you know, his name.
I'd like to introduce you to the new starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos, Case Keenum. Keenum, I'm sorry.
Broncos.
Three. Chase Keenum.
All right, we talked about the Rockies in the first segment. That's
Chase
sad.
Keenum.
Chase
Keenum.
When am I going to get that Keenum jersey, though? I need to get that, not the Keenum jersey.
The Keenum.
We had some very nice people bring me a Keenum jersey. I need the Keenum jersey.
Chase
Keenum.
Chase Keenum.
Yes.
Anyways, moving on. Yes, Chad.
All right, we talked about the Rockies in that first segment there, but I want to see if you are, what's your prediction as we come up on the All-Star break? Rockies swept the Mariners, two games back behind the Dodgers, a game and a half behind Arizona. What is your prediction here at the All-Star break for how this season finishes for the Rockies?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, in order to finish with, I believe, 89, 88 wins, they'd have to go 17 games over 500 in the second half of the season. Not from now on, because the All-Star break does not come at exactly the halfway point. But we marked it. It was a couple weeks ago, the exact halfway point. They'd have to go 17 games over 500 to get to that mark where, if you look year after year after year, Chad, that is more or less what it takes to get into the playoffs. It's kind of like, you know, 10 wins in general gets you into the NFL playoffs. So for them to finish the season 17 games over 500, I hope so. I mean, I would love to see it. I am rooting for it night in, night out. You know, they put themselves in a bit of a hole. I just don't know if that's too much to expect. Only four teams in Major League Baseball finished the first half of the season 17 games over 500. But the Rockies did essentially do that last year, except in the first half of the season, then they went 500 the rest of the way. So it's I think it can be done. I'm hopeful it can be done, and I'll be pulling for it. You?
I like you, hoping, wishful, all those kind of optimistic terms. But, yeah, I'm not reaching in my pocket and putting money down. I've seen too much inconsistency, and I think things are on the right track, but it's not firm on the right track. To fall off would not be a stretch.
Bongos.
Three!
Well, just in case you think your lazy teenager isn't really doing enough.
In for Kelly to Mbappe now, and Mbappe!
We got 19-year-olds scoring goals in the World Cup for France. It's
Mbappe's going to be on the run on this quick long ball. Yvonne Schertz there to defend. Mbappe running in. Mbappe cutting the ball line. Now the cross. Griezmann, can he pick it up? His back's to goal. How about Pogba through traffic? Second chance for Pogba!
I'm not sure which one of those is the 19-year-old, but I'm telling you, there was a 19-year-old.
78,000 on their feet in Moscow. A couple hundred million watching around the world. Can Griezmann give France the lead back? Or could Suárez come up big once again to keep it all square? Griezmann dances once again. France leads once again.
France wins. Your reaction, Chad, to France winning the World Cup?
I thought there was some great soccer out there. Some of those goals were spectacular. The fact that a 19-year-old has that kind of talent on that big of a stage was certainly impressive. But I've got no dog in that fight other than I just want to see some good soccer. And I'm happy that they were able to... Croatia was able to score that second goal and not make it just such a blowout, even though the goalie made a mistake, got a little too casual and cute with it. Yeah, I just want to see a good example of high-level soccer.
4-2 is fun. 4-2 is like a lot of action, a lot of things going on.
It was pretty rapid fire. It was three goals scored maybe 10 minutes of game time.
Yeah, it was
time.
Exciting.
Yeah.
I still think soccer, and I played soccer my whole life.
And don't talk about your heading capabilities.
I'm not going to talk about it, but I think it would increase the entertainment value if they did a virtual blue line, meaning there was no offsides after a certain point once you got the ball in the zone. And I think the penalty shot for unintentional handball, I think, is extraordinarily punitive. So I think that sort of takes away from the game when there are fouls in the, you know, penalty box area that clearly were not going to be goals. I mean, soccer's got, in my opinion, got to do something about that. I mean, maybe it's a free kick from a certain spot, or like we talked about before, just move the penalty kick back a little bit, you know, depending on what the foul is. If it's a flagrant foul, perhaps you take it from closer. If it's a non-flagrant foul, how about taking that penalty kick from, you know, 3 or 4 yards back from the penalty spot right now? I mean, why not? Why can't you have something like that? And then you can sort of have it up to interpretation on the flagrant, you know, ness of the actual foul. It just seems like, gosh, we're in the World Cup, and the dude's hand brushes off the ball, and now we're, you know, here we go. You're about to lead the World Cup on that foul. Hey, seems a little, you know, dicey to me.
I agree. Bongos.
All right, there you go. Bongos. We can make things better.
Three.
By the way, Keith Olbermann wrote an interesting article about how to make the Major League Baseball All-Star Game better by simply ripping off another sport. We'll run that by our baseball expert, Denver 7 Broncos insider Troy Rank will join us next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
My man Troy Rank. Troy Rank was hosting a championship this weekend. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, presented by Tranny Law Offices. We were in that tournament, Troy. My son's team was in that tournament that you guys won. But
were they? Which were they? 16 or 18? What were they playing?
They were playing 18s, but they're a year younger than you guys for the most part. But they were playing. They lost in the first round of the playoffs, but you guys won the whole thing. So congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It was a blast. These kids who've coached this summer have been an absolute joy. We won 11 straight, 5 straight in Georgia, 6 straight this past
weekend. Wow.
So, yeah, it's, you know, it's not all about winning at this age group. It's about getting kids signed, and we've had multiple kids get offers over the last week. One kid who's committed recently. That's been the fun part, is seeing kids get recognized by college coaches for style of play, performance, and then getting real legitimate offers to play at the next level. So it's been, I don't want the summer to end. I mean, I'm looking forward to practice camp, but I don't want the summer to end.
How much more do you got? You're probably pretty close to wrapping it up, huh?
Yeah, we got that turn of the state tournament this weekend, and then they have another tournament in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, at the end. I'm probably only going to be there if I'm there for a day or two. That one goes all the way through the end of July in Baton Rouge, a big Marucci World Series. But if I make a camp, if I appear there, it'll be a cameo.
Well, good for you, Troy, man. You're keeping it going, and this may be your last hurrah in terms of coaching your own son, right? Could be.
It's very, very possible that this is my last summer of coaching. Certainly it would be. It's close for sure.
Isn't that something when it comes to an end, Chad? When you've coached your whole life, you're involved with your kids, and it's like wow, that is actually a little mind boggling, Troy, to think about.
Next phase, man. It's an interesting time.
Yeah, well, with Brady, my youngest. I mean, I've coached him since he was seven. So
yeah.
I've seen this come to an end. I haven't been his head coach during that whole time. I was seven through like 12, 13, and then I wasn't for a few years, and it's been worked out in the summers these last couple of years where I've been involved. So it's been fantastic. I mean, I'll miss it.
I bet.
And I would hope I'd be watching my boys play at the college level. So that would be where my time would be in the summer, is going around watching them play.
Which you already are with your oldest. So it's already happening for you. So I know your son Brady's going to have some interesting options. So that's, you should be very proud. All that being said, just really quick, this particular tournament was based in Boulder. How often did you think to yourself, this is ridiculous, CU is in the Pac-12 and does not have a baseball team?
Oh, you might have been at that Boulder NIT because we were way down south. But it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous CU doesn't have a team. And I say it for one reason. Utah has a team, DMAC.
Right.
If Utah can have a team, Colorado can have a team. And I know probably four kids from Colorado that are going to Utah that have signed with Utah. I mean, they would have no problem fielding a competitive Pac-12 team, baseball team here in Colorado with recruits from here. I mean, there's kids going to Oregon State.
Yep.
Right now, there's a bunch of kids going to Utah.
Dude, the best pitcher in America used to be in your neck of the woods, and he went to Orange County.
Yeah, Cole Wynn. Yeah, he was originally Notre Dame, then Mississippi State, and then he had switched to TCU. But the Pine Creek kid, Riley Cornelio, who my son's played with and against since they were eight, he's going to TCU. He might not now because he's going to get drafted. He's one of the top pitchers in the country, will be a senior next year. I mean, there's kids everywhere. There's plenty of kids that they could have a D1 team at Colorado. So that's every time you ask me that, it gets my blood boiling.
I know.
I wish they had a team.
Well, I was thinking that because we were in Boulder, and I'm like, what? This would be beautiful. We're playing at like Scott Carpenter Park, which is right next to the campus. It's right next to the Flatirons. And I'm like, this is, and I know that there's some college teams, you know, college age kids, summer teams that play like at that particular park. I don't know what has to happen with CU and CSU to get that done. Do you, Troy? Do you know exactly? Chad, do you know like what would have to happen to make it happen?
I don't know, other than Title IX, which would, you know, they would have to have a women's softball team, but that's all I've
Big deal.
Got.
So what?
Well, again, the CU with baseball. CU, even when Chad was there and I was covering him as a player, they always kind of kept the minimum number of sports to even have D1 certification. I mean, they never wanted to be seen as an athletic school. And baseball, it was explained to me when I was a student there, because I wish they had baseball when I was a student. And they said, listen, that was when they were back in the old days, the Big Eight. They were, you know, driving to Iowa State, you know, all across Nebraska, Oklahoma, and they're getting rained out, snowed out. Nobody's coming to the games. It was just not a cost-efficient model. Because they knocked out with Chuck Fairbanks in 1980. That's the last time they had baseball. John Bad Dune Stearns, who was coached by Irv Brown, he's tried to bring it back in different forms a few times. They have no doubt they could fundraise to get it back. The issue would be, how do you keep it? There would be plenty of people that put money up to get it going, but you have to have a sustainable model. You can't keep going back to the same 20, 30 people every year and say, hey, give me another 400.
Well, isn't it a miracle Utah and Washington State figure it out? But see, you can't. That is, all right, moving on.
I'm with you on that, DMAC. I'm with you. And it's not the Marchers are good enough, because that's not the case.
Right.
I just know from coaching in this state the last 12 years of youth baseball, they would have no problem fielding a legitimate Pac-12 D1 with Colorado kids.
No problem. And they'd have no problem recruiting kids from Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, other places that are the dredges of society coming out to some place as gorgeous as CU and CSU. Okay, All-Star game. Keith Olbermann had an interesting suggestion. Want to run it past you. If all the All-Star games are, you know, terrible, except for baseball, but baseball's becoming increasingly terrible, Olbermann's idea in a recent column was to rip off the NHL, meaning make four teams of 18 players each. Don't worry if they're in the American or National League. Mix it all up. Doesn't matter. And play three three-inning games. So team one plays team two for three innings. Then team three plays team four. And the winner of those two games plays each other and for whatever, you know, for the pride of the All-Star game. What do you think of an idea like that?
It's a little gimmicky, but I understand where you're going. When it doesn't matter, you know, these exhibition games, they tend to get real boring real quickly. But so there would be a little juice in that, there's no doubt, because the sense of urgency would be there. They fixed the Home Run Derby with the time limit, and they've made it watchable again where it wasn't when it was taking, you know, 5 hours for a Home Run Derby.
Right.
But so I get where he's coming from. It just feels a little too gimmicky for me right now. I mean, is it necessary to go to that extreme? I don't know. I mean, that seems a little bit, I get where you're going. I wouldn't dismiss it out of hand because you're right. These All-Star games, football is the worst. I mean, it's unwatchable. It's flag football. It's a joke. Then nobody tackles, and it's just stupid for me. I don't like watching that one. Hockey does have a little bit going. NBA is just, you know, it's an N1 tournament, dunk fest. So baseball is still competitive. I guess that would be my argument. It still resembles the game as it's played in the regular season, where the other sports, it really doesn't look anything like their regular season game.
All right, let's quantify. You're saying it resembles the game that's played in the regular season. If we're going to say World Series baseball, is baseball played at a 10? Everyone on the field is given a 10 from an effort standpoint. What would you say the effort level for an All-Star game is? And is there something that could increase that effort level? In this Olbermann article, he's talking about giving the 18 players on the winning team $2 million. $500,000 or whatever is what he says, but would that be incentive enough to get that level of play and that level of effort up?
Well, if playoffs are 10, and let's say regular seasons for argument's sake, connecting the dots here, Chad, let's say that's a 9 because it's not the playoffs. I would say the All-Star game, the first few innings, it's right around an 8 or 9, no doubt, because all the starters are in, the cameras are on. It's the problem of the All-Star game is from like the fourth inning on. That's the issue. The first three innings or so, when it's all the starters and they're getting after it, and there's guys who are, they're just type A personalities, that works. But if you put money, like anything, if you put money, it would be interesting if they'd have to, you know, connect it to a charity. But if you said every guy in the team got $2 million, I guarantee you, you'd see guys competing. Then the flip side would be, what happens if a guy blows out his hammy or his oblique and now he's gone for a month after the All-Star game and it's a playoff team? That would be, the teams wouldn't want that. I guarantee you. The players would like it. Fans would like it. But executives would be like, hey, this is an exhibition. This doesn't matter. And now we're compromised because we just lost our shortstop for 3 weeks.
Really quick, Troy, you have to trade one player on the Rockies to make them better. Who are you trading?
Well, I mean, the obvious is you trade Shaw. I mean, that's an untradeable contract, but I would trade Tapia. I would trade a prospect for a seventh inning reliever. They challenged this team, D-Mac, to put their quote big boy pants on and figure it out when they were 4 games under 500 and their season was on the brink. All they've done since then is win 12 of 13 at home, 13 of 16 overall. Go get them a seventh inning reliever. You don't want to look up August 10th and go, oh man, we just had a seventh inning guy. Because to say it's going to be over, maybe it is, but that's hope. Hope is not a strategy. Go out and get one more reliever. And again, you mean to say, not my money. I didn't spend $106 million in the offseason, but this team has earned the right for you to go get him another reliever if you're management.
Good stuff, Troy. We appreciate it. Troy Rank, Denver 7 Broncos Insider, presented by the Tranny Law Offices. Aqib Tlaib said something. It was super dumb. I'll explain it next.